I like to read a lot. Some of you already know that about me, but if given my druthers, I will be somewhere reading, even sometimes when I'm supposed to be doing something else. But one of the reading challenges I have, even though I recognize the letters and the words and everything, is when I'm reading the Bible. And here's why it's a challenge. Many of the stories in the Bible are stories that I heard from being just a tiny child. And so when I start reading them again, I immediately assume I know the whole story and I find myself glossing over sections, right? Oh, sure, that's the story about David and Goliath. I know what happens to the giant and why and how and everything. Oh, that's the story about Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. I remember that deal. Oh, it's the story of Jonah. I know that's the story about a whale and how God is so cool that God could make a fish swallow a guy and spit him out on the land. But more often than not, when I'm reading the Bible and I actually follow the story, I find myself surprised. I find myself shaking and scratching my head and saying, I don't remember that part from Sunday school. Wait a minute, what happened? Now, it's strange that I'm confessing that to you today because after about 25 years of being a preacher, I've read these stories a lot. And after about 15 years of being a seminary professor, I've taught these stories a lot. And yet, a few weeks ago, when I was reading this story, in preparation for today, something surprised me. So first, an advertisement for the Bible. These are our stories of faith, through which we encounter God and God's people. Even though you know the stories, I encourage you to return to the good book and to read those stories. Let them sink into your hearts and minds. Question the stories. Let them question you. There's a lot more there than you think. And this comes from a guy who studies the Bible a lot and all the time finds out there's a lot more there than he thinks. For instance, here's what I remember about the story of the conversion of Nineveh. From just a tiny child, and I, for some reason, have stuck with this way of going, and that is, Jonah finally goes to Nineveh after trying not to, and after running away, in fact, the other way, and the fish swallows him and vomits him up on the land, and God sends him, and Nineveh's a big city, and Jonah goes through the city, and what I remember happening is, the king hears what Jonah has to say and believes it, and commands everybody to dress up in sackcloth and ashes, even the animals. I remember thinking to myself, wow, what a great story. A king actually heard what Jonah said and believed God, and everything changed. Maybe that's how I remember the story, because people in authority over me told me the story, right? My mother and my Sunday school teachers and my daycare providers, right? They said, so the person in authority believed, and therefore, and I said, okay, person in authority, that's a great story. And it is a great story, only, I now confess, it's wrong. I can't believe that all this time I was assuming and remembering and skipping over, and in my study a few weeks ago, what I learned was the people believed in God. They heard what Jonah had to say, they believed, and they immediately responded. The king heard about what the people had done, and then acted after that. Well, that's a whole different way of looking at it. The actual way the Bible looks at it, turns out, is a whole way different from mine. Jonah came, proclaimed the word of God, let the people of Nineveh know that they were in danger, they were moving in the wrong direction, and the people heard, and the people acted. The story of the conversion of Nineveh is the story of a movement of the people. And as I've been thinking about that, I've been thinking about how we do in political life. Now, I've got a reason for bringing politics into today's story, and it's this. The word from which we get our word politics is the Greek word polis. It means city. This is a story about a city and about its policies and about its people and about its leadership. That's a definition of politics, a literal definition of politics. I'm not, however, going to bring partisan politics in it because, after all, what's the point? But I am going to bring the political into it. The story of Jonah is a story about how when people hear what God intends for them and make a decision to respond, change can occur. And it's a story about when leaders hear about what God intends for them and they choose to respond, change can occur. And it's a story about when somebody hears what God intends for the people and chooses to respond not by going the other way, but by actually doing what God tells them to do, change can occur. That's hopeful, I think. Just as it must have been hopeful for the people of Israel who first heard this story. You know, John Dominic Crossan, a biblical scholar, writes that the story of Jonah is really a parable. Once there was a guy named Jonah, and this is what happened when he acted a certain way. And once there were people of Nineveh, and this is what happened when they acted a certain way. It was a parable, it was a story told so that people could enter into the story and see who God is and how we might respond. And it was a very hopeful story for this reason. Y'all knew who the Ninevites are? Remember the Ninevites? Maybe not. Turns out that Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And here's what the Assyrian Empire had been busy doing around the time that Jonah was likely written. They'd been busy conquering everybody in the region. Conquering their cities, taking their stuff, killing their people, messing with their crops, destroying their lives. If you lived in Israel in the north or Judah in the south, you knew very well who the Assyrians were. You knew very well that Nineveh was their capital, and you knew very well that if there was one thing we could say about Ninevites and Assyrians, it is that they stink. Nobody likes them. Nobody's supposed to like them. In fact, in other sections of the Old Testament, that is precisely said. If there's one people you're not supposed to like, it's the Assyrians. If there's one place that's in big trouble, it's Nineveh. And here comes the book of Jonah. A parabolic invitation to imagine what might happen if Nineveh and all of its people heard what God had to say and changed their minds, their hearts, and their lives in response to that. There are several pieces of this story, and they're all working together, kind of like checks and balances. I mentioned checks and balances because that connects to our own political system and because I've been reading the Federalist Papers lately. I got a little bored with what I was reading the other day, and I decided it's time to read all the Federalist Papers. You remember the Federalist Papers were written by Alexander Hamilton and James Madison and John Jay at the time at which our Constitution was going to be ratified. They published them in mostly New York area magazines and newspapers, and they were in serial form. There were 85 of these little essays under the name of, or over the name of, Publius. And so they were anonymous for a while. Nobody knew for sure that it was Hamilton, Madison, and Jay who were writing these. And in the Federalist Papers, they're trying to convince the people of New York and all the people in the colonies that this new constitution's a good idea. Why is it a good idea? They asked. Well, it's a good idea because power is not vested in only one place, but it's spread out so that as we pursue the good, We each have responsibility and we each have efficacy. Right? The stuff we do makes a difference. And they write in paper after paper after paper, 85 papers, about why they think this is a good idea. Now, it's kind of a funny read because you're reading along and you're shaking your head thinking, oh, Hamilton, you were so naive. He said things like, after all, it'll take a while for communication to get this far, or after all, we all live within a few hundred miles of each other, or after all, etc., etc., etc. There are only 13 states. The world has turned many times since those papers were written. On the other hand, you read these along and you think, wow, you guys get it. You get that no matter who is the people and who is the leader and who is the Congress, it's possible for there to be very good ones and it's possible for there to be very bad ones, and we've got to have a system that helps us to work that out so that everyone has responsibility and everyone has efficacy. Now let's look at the story of Jonah and ask responsibility and efficacy questions. God said to Jonah, Jonah, you're responsible for going to the people of Nineveh and telling them what's what. They need to know who I am. And Jonah shirked his responsibility. That's how he ended up in the fish's belly. In the end, though, Jonah gets to where he needs to be, and he takes the big walk, and he fulfills his responsibility. Now, the people of Nineveh also had responsibility. Right? A lot of the things that were happening in Nineveh connected to those people. And they were responsible for listening and then choosing whether or not to do the right thing. And we remember in the story, and it's immediate, in fact. The story makes it as if Jonah says it, the people hear it and believe it, and change begins. They believe God. They fulfill their responsibility. And then the king hears about it. He hears what the people are doing. He sees that the people are moving in the streets, and he responds, and he sets out a policy. He says, not only do I hear what's happening, but we need to change our ways. We need to do the full deal of repentance. And repentance is a lot more than just saying you're sorry. It's actually turning your life around, changing direction, and the king then makes that policy, fulfilling his responsibility. Now, what about efficacy? What difference did it make that each of those actors acted? Can you imagine being Jonah, minding your own business, and someone comes, even though that someone is God, to you and says, look, let go of everything you're doing. Pick up your life, go to a place you know you're supposed to hate and you're probably afraid of, and tell the truth about who I am as God. Jonah might have thought, number one, I'm not in for that kind of responsibility. Thanks, but no thanks. In fact, that is what Jonah did. But Jonah might also have thought to himself, what difference would it make if I, one person, say something to all those people? What efficacy could I have in a situation like that? It turns out, in this wonderful story, Jonah's efficacy is phenomenal. He says what he believes, he says it publicly, he offers the people an opportunity, and it changes the lives of everyone, even the animals, in a great city, a city so large it takes days to walk across. One guy, by the way, that smells like fish guts, has that much efficacy. Wow! Reading in the Federalist Papers, every once in a while, Hamilton, Madison, and Jay say something like that. You may think that you don't have much efficacy, but you get to help say what you believe. You get to help choose your leaders. You get to help make a difference in the world. Even though we're not a straight democracy, we're a republic, we have representatives, what the individual person does matters. Wow. Jonah helps us to imagine that. Now, what about the people of Nineveh? Imagine you're a person in Nineveh and Assyria is going along a certain way. Maybe they're not acknowledging God. Maybe they're crushing their neighbors. Maybe they're not participating in social justice, but everything's working out pretty well. Your sandal shop's getting pretty good business. Your lamp oil business is doing okay. Your donkey is behaving most days. You think to yourself, I really don't want to get involved. I really don't want to make waves. After all, what if things change and my clay tablet business goes bust? How will I feed my children? They didn't want the responsibility, perhaps, but something happened. They heard the word of God, they believed in it, and they took responsibility, and their choice to repent was efficacious. When they chose to repent, when they chose to be sorry, to hear, to listen, to change, their voices went all the way up to the leadership. And the leadership changed policy directions. The people of Nineveh found that they were not only responsible for hearing God's voice, but they were efficacious when they acted on it. Hamilton, Madison, and Jay talk the same way. They say, you know what? As states, when we make decisions together, when we decide what is right for all of us as people, and then the federal government hears that because we've got a representative system, things can change. What about the king? Kings have it pretty good, it seems like, in the ancient world, as long as they weren't having their heads chopped off by other kings. But they had, you know, palaces and stuff. I've been watching The Crown on Netflix. Have any of you been watching The Crown on Netflix? Okay, a few of you. It's about Queen Elizabeth, and I'm still in episode or season one, so don't tell me anything. I know it turns out she, like, reigned for 65 years and all that, but but it's pretty good. But every once in a while, I watch that, and I think, wow. People like follow you around in case any crumbs fall off of your plate. And you put your hand out and people kiss it. And you walk out the door and the car's already warm and running and off you go. And there's never any bird droppings on your windshield. It's nice to be queen. Kings had it pretty good back in the day as well. But they also had a lot of responsibility. Those of you who've watched The Crown, or those of you who imagine what it would be like to be queen, know that she doesn't just sit on her throne and make decrees all the time. There's this whole business to think about. What would the people think? What are we supposed to be doing? What does it mean? There's responsibility when you are a leader. It's not all about fringe benefits. The king stepped up to his responsibility in Nineveh. He responded to what the people had heard and believed, and he changed his policy. Now, was that efficacious? It was. When God saw that Jonah did Jonah's job, when God saw that the people did their job, and when God saw that the king did the king's job, God said, no longer is Nineveh in jeopardy. Things changed. This is a story about the power of the people. If we tune our ears to what God is saying, no matter where you are in the system, if you are called to tell a people this is a new direction you must take, you can take that responsibility and it can be efficacious, the book of Jonah tells us. If you are one of many people and you hear the voice of one crying out in your city saying, we must change direction, we must acknowledge God, you can take responsibility for that decision. And when you do it along with many others, you can be efficacious. Change can happen. If you are the leader of an organization or a city or a state or a nation, and you hear what God intends for the world, and you change, and you move forward, and you step up to your responsibility, you can be efficacious. No matter where you are in that system of checks and balances, if you will, or that system of governance or that system of community life, if you live up to your responsibility, having heard what God calls the world to, you can be efficacious. You can make a difference. A stubborn runaway guy who got vomited out of a fish finally listened and made a difference. People living in a city that had been going the wrong direction for a very long time heard, believed, and made a difference. A king sitting on his throne with all of his power saw what his people had heard and believed, and he believed himself, and he made policies that were in accordance with what God intended, and he made a difference. Jonah, it turns out, didn't quite understand everything that he needed to about God. The next part of the story is God forgives the Ninevites, and Jonah gets ticked off about it. Because Jonah's idea was, if somebody hurts me or somebody disagrees with me, it's okay because God's going to roast them. God's idea was, hey, Jonah, I love all people and the animals. I'm always looking for excuses to help the people walk with me, to walk in righteousness. And when they do, I'm there for them. I love them. I forgive them. I nourish them. I do not write them off. What a hopeful story is the story of Jonah. It tells us, if you're just one person and you don't think that you can live up to the responsibility of speaking God's word to the world, and you don't think it'll make a difference anyway, you're wrong. Look what happened with Jonah. If you're a member of a society and you think everything's going a certain way and there's nothing we can do about it, there's no way that we can change and it won't make a difference anyway, the story says you're wrong. Look at Nineveh. They listened, they believed, they changed. And if you're in a leadership position and you think, look, everything's going a certain way and this is how I've been doing it and there's no way I can live up to the responsibility of hearing God's word in my life and it wouldn't make a difference anyway, this story says you're wrong. Look at the king of Nineveh. He heard, he saw his people changing, and he made a new policy, and the direction of Nineveh changed, and there was hope for the people. This story is so much more than a fish tale. It's a story about how God never gives up on me. God never gives up on us, and God never gives up on our leaders. But we're called to listen, to speak, and to change. For this reason, the very reason that God never gives up on us is the kind of God God is. God is slow to anger. God is abounding in steadfast love. God is a God of justice and righteousness. And we are called to be that kind of people too. It doesn't always happen with the leader at the top. There's an old quote, maybe you've heard it. It's been attributed to lots of different people. So I don't really know who originally said it, but it goes something like this. Do you see those people over there? I must catch up with them, for you see, I am their leader. That's kind of what happened with the king of Nineveh. The people heard, the people changed, and he needed to move forward. That tells me two things. That tells me leaders can win when they listen to the people, and that tells me that people can win when they listen to the word of God's spokespeople. What we do makes a difference. Now, just quickly here as I finish up. Let's think about consequences of complicity. Okay? Consequences of complicity. I read in the New York Times Sunday magazine this morning this little piece. To break out of complicity and silence is to imagine something different, to reckon forcefully with the notion that there is such a thing as a right side and a wrong one. To break out of complicity and silence is to imagine something different, to reckon forcefully with the notion that there's such a thing as a right side and a wrong one. When Crossan writes that the book of Jonah is a parable, in essence he's saying it's an imagining of something different. This is exactly how Walter Brueggemann talks about the prophetic imagination. Prophets help us to imagine something different than what's actually happening and help us to imagine it through God's eyes and through hearing God's voice. I want to ask you, in each of these three levels, the prophet, the people, and the king, what would have happened if one or more had remained complicit? What if Jonah, even after he'd gotten thrown up onto the beach, had brushed himself off and gone the other way again? What if Jonah had never gotten to Nineveh? All those people and animals in that great city might have been lost. But he didn't. Jonah finally saw the light, and light's hard to see inside a fish, I understand. But he finally saw it. Now, what if those people had heard Jonah's message and they said, oh boy, here he goes again. A wandering Israelite who washed up on the beach doesn't know how things work around here. What if the people had continued to be complicit with the system and had not heard and changed? What would have happened? So many people and animals in that great city would have been lost. What about the king? What if the king had remained complicit in what was happening in Nineveh? What if the king had heard what the people had said and heard about Jonah and saw what the people are doing and said, well, I don't have to be about all of that. I'm the king. I think the people and animals of Nineveh would have been lost. We have the power to hear and speak and share and live the Word of God, a God of love for all people, even foreigners who wash up on the shore like Jonah. I guess Jonah was a boat person or a fish person. But he didn't come by the normal route into the country. A God who cares about the well-being of everyone, even the animals, even those who are a part of the environment. A God who believes in forgiveness and a way forward. You have the power to speak. We have the power to hear. Our leaders have the power to change course. And we all have the power to share together in God's vision for humanity, a vision where all people and animals not only survive, but thrive. Through God's Spirit moving in us, we have been given power of the people. Amen.